Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is Shireen Aladimi, who is a graduate student at Harvard University, where she's currently completing her doctorate in education. Originally from Yemen, she has been working to bring attention to the U.S.'s role in the ongoing war on Yemen and has a recent article at Common Dreams, Only Americans Can Stop America's War on Yemen. Welcome to Background Briefing, Shireen Aladimi.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us, Shireen. And in terms of Americans stopping America's war on Yemen, it looks as if the Senate today failed to do that. Obviously, there was pressure from the Pentagon, from General Mattis. And, of course, the vote coincides with the arrival of Saudi Arabia's Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, at the White House. So had it passed, of course, it would have been a pretty strong rebuke to the Crown Prince, who started this war in 2015, and it doesn't seem like he has particularly thought it through. So is there an end game from the Saudi Arabian point of view?
The end game for the Saudis, there doesn't seem to be one. Mohammed bin Salman has waged this war starting in 2015, and I think he did this, you know, in a very brash manner, hoping that this could be an issue that is curtailed within a couple of months. Of course, that hasn't panned out. It's been 3 years, so far he hasn't gained significant control in Yemen and has only caused the world's largest humanitarian crisis. And so, you know, there's no way for him to save face at this point. He continues to wage war with the help, significant help from the United States. There doesn't seem to be an end in sight. And like you said, the Senate just voted to kill the resolution that would have extricated U.S. role involvement in Yemen. So that's also something that will continue to embolden.
But the resolution under the War Powers Act was brought to the floor by Senator Bernie Sanders and Senator Mike Lee, Republican of Utah. So it had bipartisan support. And apparently, President Trump is supposed to have brought up the issue of the humanitarian catastrophe in Yemen with the Crown Prince. Do we have any guarantees that that's the case? Because my understanding is that both Trump and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, have financial ties with the Saudi Arabians, and particularly with the young Crown Prince. And it's often when the Trumps are involved in the family, it's hard to dissociate, you know, diplomacy from business.
Right. The bottom line is whether it's the Obama administration or the Trump administration, you know, personally and otherwise, have benefited financially from the relationship with the Saudis. The Saudis, we've sold billions in weapons to the Saudis, but the military contracts that the U.S. has with the Saudi National Guard have also, you know, amounted to millions per month, $129 million per month. And so there's no incentive on the U.S.'s side to end their support of the Saudis. And, of course, the Saudis keep promising that they didn't mean to bomb hospitals, they didn't mean to bomb schools, or that, you know, it's all fake news and they're actually trying to liberate Yemen from Yemenis, apparently. You know, the Saudis are getting away with committing war crimes, and we continue to support them.
So exactly what are the U.S. supplying in terms of military aid to Saudi Arabia's war on Yemen?
So the United States provides mid-air refueling to Saudi jets as they're bombing mostly civilian targets. They train Saudi soldiers. They advise their military personnel. They maintain, repair, and upgrade vehicles and aircraft. You know, this is an addition, of course, to the billions in weapon sales. And so there's significant support there. They, you know, they help with navigation and communication and so on. And so the Saudi-led coalition is heavily dependent on the U.S.'s involvement there.
Well, of course, President Trump took a dig at the Obama administration in greeting the Saudi Crown Prince at the White House, saying, I would really have to say this: the relationship was, to put it mildly, very, very strained during the Obama administration, and the relationship now is probably as good as it really has ever been. The fact of the matter is that the Obama administration didn't in any way stop the humanitarian catastrophe in Yemen, did they? Did they have a peace plan? I don't recognize a peace plan on the part of the Trump administration, but had the Obama administration tried to rein in Saudi Arabia?
Not at all. The Obama administration got involved with the Saudis, starting with their, you know, March 26 attack on Yemen, and have not backed out since then. And so I think what Trump is referring to maybe is the fact that the Obama administration passed the Iran nuclear deal despite protests from Saudi Arabia. But in Yemen, they've been partners, and the Obama administration has helped the Saudis as much as Trump Organization is helping the Saudis.
But let's turn to Yemen itself in terms of factionalism, tribalism, and fratricide. It's very hard to follow. Originally, the leader, Hadi, was driven out. He went to Saudi Arabia. Then the warlord, Saleh, seemed to have made some kind of deal with the Houthis. But then recently, I think he turned on the Houthis, and recently they killed him. How much are the warring factions in Yemen itself responsible for this catastrophe?
Of course, you know, tensions have been brewing in Yemen since the 2011 Arab Spring. And so Yemenis, thousands, hundreds of thousands of Yemenis went to the streets to protest Ali Abdullah Saleh's 33-year rule. And things went south when his former allies joined the opposition. He eventually stepped down that year, and Hadi was placed as his interim president, and it was supposed to be a two-year term. He was supposed to redraft the constitution and create a unity government and whatnot. He failed to do so. And the Houthis applied pressure on him by taking over Sana'a with the help of Saleh. But, you know, Hadi's two-year term had expired, and then he resigned after that, and then he fled to Aden and began asking the Saudis to bomb Yemen to help reinstate him. And so, of course, there's a lot going on internally, and this civil war essentially turned into a foreign intervention when the Saudis began bombing Yemen. With the help of most of the Gulf countries, many Arab countries, and U.S., U.K., and France, and so on. So it's no longer, I think, can be considered a civil war, given the extent of the foreign intervention. But even if the intervention were to stop today, we'll still have problems. There's still going to be issues there where people have, but you know, the issue here is that Yemenis have to sort these issues out for themselves, and it's really difficult to do that when there's so much foreign intervention.
So what about the notion that this war in Yemen is a proxy war, or at least some of the players, particularly the Saudis, believe it is? They believe that Iran is backing the Houthis. There's no question that Iran is backing the Assad regime in Syria, and arguably no Iranians are dying, but lots of Syrians are dying, and equally true, no Saudis are dying, or few are, or Emiratis, who are also fighting with the Saudis, but an awful lot of Yemenis are dying, including children who are being starved to death because of this blockade. So what's your response to the notion that Yemen is a victim of a proxy war between the Saudi regime and the Iranian regime?
I mean, this is one of the many lies that the Saudis have crafted in order to justify their presence in Yemen. They've cast this conflict as a sectarian conflict. It's absolutely not a sectarian conflict. It's not a Sunni-Shia conflict. And while Iran is involved in Syria, it by no means is involved in Yemen, at least not to the same degree. They're not supplying the Houthis with weapons. They're not providing any sort of assistance to the Houthis. The fact of the matter is that Saudi Arabia, the Emiratis, you know, up until recently, Qatar, Bahrain, Morocco, Jordan, Egypt, all these countries are involved in this war directly. And they're casting it as a sectarian war in order to justify their presence in Yemen. Otherwise, why are they involved in such a, you know, massive humanitarian disaster? There's no other way to justify it other than to say, well, we're trying to curtail Iranian influence in Yemen. This is by no means an Iranian war in Yemen or a proxy war between Saudi Arabia and Iran. For us Yemenis, this is, you know, today's the 15th anniversary of the Iraq War, and I remember the WMD story that 9/11 was connected to the Iraqis, and that, you know, the Iraqis had WMDs, and this feels like one more instance of a lie that has been told so many times that people hold it to be true, but there's very little evidence to support that.
But why at least Saudi Arabia, and whether or not Iran is involved is another matter, but why Saudi Arabia and the Emiratis? What do they want out of the poorest country in the Middle East that already has terrible problems in terms of insufficient water and food supplies? So is there any strategic gain for what the Saudis are doing?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Yemen controls Bab el-Mandeb Strait, where 3.8 million barrels of oil travel through every single day. And, of course, this is a lot of it is Saudi oil, so they want to protect their interests there. But if you also look at the Arabian Peninsula, you have Saudi Arabia, and which is a kingdom, and then other countries that are kingdoms or emirates or sultanates, and Yemen is a republic. Yemen has had, spirit of democracy for, whether that's worked or not for Yemenis is a different issue, but the Saudis have always tried to enforce their views in Yemen, and this happened in the 60s when the Yemenis were fighting for independence, and the Saudis partnered up with the British to try to quash that. It happened in 1994, a war that I lived through, when the Saudis were involved. Also, they've taken sides in the Yemeni civil war and were arming one side against the other. And so it's not new for the Saudis to be involved in Yemeni politics, but this is an instance this is the most involved they've been in Yemeni politics.
But in terms, when you say that there was no Iranian involvement, the Saudis are making a big deal out of a Scud missile that landed at the Riyadh airport, and they're claiming that that was an Iranian-manufactured missile. So, I mean, there are two questions. One is, I'm not sure how, if indeed Iran is supplying the Houthis, how anything gets past the blockade, because the blockade is so it's airtight that the children in Yemen are starving. So the blockade appears to be working. But nevertheless, how, if the Saudi claim is true that there was an Iranian Scud missile that hit the airport at Riyadh, how did the Houthis get hold of it?
So it's not an Iranian missile. The Ali Abdullah Saleh, the previous president, had stockpiled for 30 years, had stockpiled missiles in Yemen. And the Houthis are simply using those. They're modifying some of these. And, 2 days after Nikki Haley had that demonstration where she said that this missile came from Iran or is Iranian manufactured, there was a secret UN report that leaked, and they had done an investigation, and they said that, no, actually, this came from Yemen, and it doesn't have any Iranian footprints on it. And so, again, this is part of the story that the Saudis are trying to really paint in order to justify this war. The Yemenis are using whatever they can, whatever missiles are left, to try to counterattack the Saudis, and it's very minimal. The Saudis intercept most of the missiles, if not all of them, that go into Saudi Arabia. And like you said, there's a land, air, and sea blockade where people, I have family there that's trapped. People can't leave. Food can't come in. People are starving. Every single day, 130 children at least are dying because they're starving. And we're led to believe that somehow Iran is bringing in these missiles to Yemen.
Well, the humanitarian case was made on the Senate floor today by Bernie Sanders and other senators. Is that to say it's falling on deaf ears? 60 Minutes did a recent piece showing these skeletally thin young kids dying of malnutrition. It was really heart-wrenching footage. So your piece in Common Dreams is titled Only Americans Can Stop America's War on Yemen. Well, number one, Americans don't even recognize or realize that there is an American war on Yemen in complicity with the Saudi Arabians. But what was your sense from the debates today on the Senate floor that some compassion is going to be shown here on a humanitarian level?
I think several senators spoke very passionately about our role in creating this world's largest humanitarian crisis. They've shown pictures of starving children, like you said, and the bill that just failed to pass, it was pretty close. I think 45 senators voted to pass it. And so there's hope there that there's raising, increasing awareness. But like you said, the average American doesn't even know, anything about Yemen, or that, let alone that we're involved in that war, and we've helped cause this humanitarian crisis. The 60 Minutes piece that aired a couple months ago failed to mention that the U.S. had any role in helping the Saudis create this humanitarian crisis. And the 60 Minutes episode that aired the other day, interviewing Mohammed bin Salman, who's in the U.S. today, failed to really push him on his role in creating the crisis, and allowed him to get away with saying that the Houthis, in fact, are the ones who are blockading the humanitarian aid, despite, reports from the UN and all sorts of humanitarian organizations that have said that the Saudis are, in fact, the ones who are blockading Yemen, and they're the ones who are preventing aid and food from coming into the country. And so I'm not sure, where to go from here. this was a good effort by Senator Sanders and Lee and Murphy to try to bring an end to U.S. involvement, but it's one more disappointment. It's, you know, 3 years of just a war that has gone without congressional approval and continues to wreak havoc on millions of lives.
So just in closing, is there a solution here? The UN has been issuing warnings about this humanitarian catastrophe. You've just pointed out it's the worst in the world, and that's really saying something, given some of the misery and suffering going on with the Rohingyas and others in Burma. Do you think there was a deal done in the Senate, you know, that we go along with the Pentagon, because the Pentagon argument was basically, you know, we can't afford to upset the Saudis at this moment, and particularly when the Crown Prince is there at the White House. But do you think they got anything out of it? You know, okay, we'll vote not to embarrass MBS, but you got to do something about the humanitarian situation. Is that wishful thinking, or do you think something went on behind the scenes?
I think that's wishful thinking, to be honest. I'm not sure they really care about the humanitarian crisis. Many of these people are the same people who led us to war several times. And humanitarian crisis has been going on for 3 years. It's just been, you know, getting from bad to worse. We have 80% of the population now who's in need of humanitarian aid. That's, you know, 25 million people. And so I don't think humanitarian crisis is what's going to get us out of the war. I think there has to be an articulation, maybe a more cogent articulation, that this war is really hindering U.S. interests in the area. So we claim to want to fight terror, but this war has actually enabled terrorists like ISIS and al-Qaeda. We're working with the Saudis, who have no problem working with al-Qaeda, and it's been documented in Yemen that they've worked alongside al-Qaeda in this war. I don't think, you know, starving children stopped people from passing or stopping a war, because at the end of the day, they're making so much money out of this, and the relationship with Saudi Arabia is first and foremost the most important thing.
Well, Shireen Al-Adeimi, I thank you very much for joining us here today.
Thank you for having me.
And again, I've been speaking with Shireen Al-Adeimi, who's a graduate student at Harvard University, where she's currently completing her doctorate in education. Originally from Yemen, she has been working to bring attention to the U.S.'s role in the ongoing war in Yemen, and has a recent article at Common Dreams, Only Americans Can Stop America's War on Yemen. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back and go to the U.K. to discuss the angry reaction in the British Parliament against Cambridge Analytica and Facebook.